You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone and welcome along to Between the Stripes LOI podcast series 9 episode 25, and we are coming to you energised by the full time result in Croatia. Just minutes ago, full time whistle went and Shelburne, which surely one of the great League of Ireland results in Europe, the win against Rijeka, I'm not really sure the pronunciation, but what a result for Shelburne, Gary Riley. One foot in the group stages maybe.
Well, absolutely. It's another, if they get through this tie, they'll be guaranteed group stage football in Europe, which is another fantastic achievement. Just on the game itself. I think fully, at halftime,
fully deserving of the win.
Well, at halftime, they had no shots or no attempts or anything, and you're kind of thinking, right, will they be able to hold it out? Maybe a 1-0 loss or something like that. And then they give away the penalty, which was total.
Classic League of Ireland behaviour in Europe.
Oh, absolutely. And classic keeper.
Yeah.
In particular.
Yeah.
Behaviour. But your man did a good job in the penalty, and it wasn't a penalty. I don't think there was any argument there.
No.
But within a minute, it was level. Really good header from Sam Bone, a lad who I've definitely dug out a few times on the pod.
Who actually won the first header? It was Bone that just noticed it in on the line. No. It was actually the first header that done the damage.
No, that was Bone. It was already in, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then the second goal, the winner.
Oh, that is a great goal.
That is liquid football, that is.
I know you've said it before, there's just something beautiful about a header goal.
Oh,
one like glorious. That is a thunder bastard. Oh,
yeah, but apart from that, like if you look back at it, like the cross from Wood is so good that the defender is
just out of it, took out of the game.
Completely out of game. Yeah. He's stretching to head it away, can't get it. And who scored for Shells?
John Martin.
I don't think he nearly had to jump. It was on his forehead.
Yeah, it was telegraphed.
It was sensational. But he still had to peg it in, and he pegged it into the top corner. And I know there was a couple of shouts for handball coming towards the end.
Oh, hard in the mouth there. I it wasn't a penalty. He's not made himself bigger there. He's tried to turn away and keep the hands out of the way, and it's clipped his like fingertips. But yeah. I thought with the pressure, the home fans and everything, I was certain it was going to be given.
Yeah, but if you're watching, like you could see the ref, he was like copying what Bowen did, like had his hands
on his side, he
understood. So yeah. I don't think there was any real risk that he was.
Ref was very good, actually. I don't know where he was from, but I thought he had a good game.
Yeah, I fairly satisfied.
A few of our boys could do a taking notes.
Absolutely, but look, I thought, just a all round great result, great evening. Great to, just a great achievement. I know it's only half the job done, but it's a great away win. So
yeah,
whatever and, it's a positive.
Croatian teams will be absolutely sick of the teeth of Irish teams this week. We're brought to you the show as ever by our sponsor Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting, and AV solutions. I commented on the two Athlone games in the Women's Champions League last week, and was delighted to bump into a couple of the lads. Aina that's always tweeting us into the hotline.
Yep.
He was part of the LOI TV team last week, so got to meet him and a couple of the other lads there, and all big listeners of the pod over in Athlone, which is great. So, had a great couple of evenings over in Athlone commentating on the game with Jessica Farry for LOI TV, and we both got great feedback about the commentary, so that was great. But that was a brilliant result for Athlone against Cardiff. I think there was a quiet confidence around the place that they'd get the job done against Cardiff, but everyone felt it'd be a big step up in class against Agram on Saturday, because if you looked going through their squad full of Croatian and Montenegrin internationals and players that had played Champions League football before, and they absolutely tore them apart once again. So great couple of days for Irish clubs against Croatian clubs.
Absolutely, yeah. It's lots of European success in the last few days. Hopefully it can be replicated over the next few days.
Unbelievable to see the crowds they got into that loan for the two games as well. Two sellouts.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, great to see. I suppose there was plenty listening to yourself and Jessica Ferry on the commentary.
Yeah. Going back to Shells tonight, though, one player I thought, there were several standout players, but I thought Mbeng very, very impressive.
Yeah, he looked very comfortable.
Yeah.
I felt like, or like that he was like there all the time. you know, not a recent addition or anything like that. Yeah, fair play to him going in, flying into the starting 11 so early on in a massive game like that was a great achievement.
Yeah, and credit to Joey O'Brien, the substitutes, because I didn't see much of the first half. I only turned it on towards the end. I know when I text you saying, oh, how have they been getting on? You said, yeah, look fine. You were a bit disappointed with Meepo's performance. And Daniel Kelly comes on. And Daniel Kelly, I know in the last couple of weeks, he's been getting more game time. But in the early part of the season, we didn't see him. Now, some of that was down to injury. But John Martin comes on, gets the goal. Gannon and Coyle come on at the end just to shore it up. So great use of the bench from Joey O'Brien. Wasn't afraid to shake things up at halftime.
No, certainly not. And had obviously great confidence in his bench as well, fairly sure of what they were going to bring for him on the pitch. So yeah, just on that, because I've the first thought there, I was watching it with one of the lads and he wouldn't know League of Ireland football. Well, obviously he's been getting plenty of brain damage from me over the years, but he was going on about Duffer, and he didn't know that Duffer was gone, but I was very critical of Duff leaving on the eve of, you know, a European competition.
Yeah.
I have to hand it to Joey O'Brien.
Mm.
You know, I know he's, you know, gotten plenty of credit, but probably not from ourselves. Well, certainly not from me, I don't think. You know, when you lose someone like that with that type of personality and would be a dominant voice in most rooms, I think Joey O'Brien has really stepped up. I was glad he got the job, obviously, but and I just think he's done so well to step into those shoes that Damien Duff left behind him, which I'm still critical of. Don't think he did right there. But yeah,
I think the fact he hasn't rocked up anywhere like was suggested, I think that's probably a good thing. I think we'll probably forgive Duffer down the line. But yeah, no, credit to Joey. Just other players I want to pick out as well. We mentioned Wood, the cross for the goal. Another brilliant performance from him. He's really looked back to his best this season. We mentioned Sam Bone getting the goal. Like you in particular, very, very critical of Bone, but very solid alongside Paddy Barrett there this evening. And I know a player you have praised quite a bit in the past this season, Kerr McEnroy. I thought he was brilliant in the midfield this evening.
Covered a lot of ground. Covered a lot of ground. Showing up in a lot of places. Yeah, absolutely. But I think it goes to show, like we'll say, Duffer leaves, but like nothing real. There's been no calamity.
No.
That has occurred. Joey Bryan has really kept the team together. I know it's like obviously easier to do, or somewhat easier to do probably, when you have like a European adventure in front of you. But I just think it's credit to obviously a lot of players, but I just wanted to highlight Joey O'Brien.
Mm. So look, I think as we said, the Croatian team, they didn't look any great shakes. We'll have to see how they approach it next week in Dublin. Do they go gung-ho? Will they be confident enough they can just play their normal game and come out on top? But Shell's in a great position either way. Now, obviously, we hope they win and get through to the playoff round of the Europa League. There'll be guaranteed group stage football. And if that happens, then it'd be either Pauk or who did we say just before we started?
Wolfsberger.
Wolfsberger. So, like, Pauk, as you pointed out to me, Bowes beat them during COVID, beat them at home. They're very unlucky away not to bring it to extra time. I think that's the game Keith Ward missed a late chance, wasn't it?
Yeah.
For Bowes. Wardy doing a bit of damage to Longford there at the weekend, still going strong at 40 or 42, as he was trying to point out to the fans. But so like, you know, Bowes have shown that Pauk can be got at in Europe, and Wolfsberger, I know they're a big club in Austria, but I haven't heard a lot about them in Europe over the last few years. So you like to think if Shells can get there, they can go into that tie, you know, and they've got a free crack at it and do well. And if they do, unfortunately, come out on the wrong side of it next week, like, they got the dream draw the other night. I had John Breyer with me here over the weekend, and great time. And we were actually going, only for the fact that it was Monday games, we said we would have recorded a pod in the house here, but he was going to come on and do a bit of European stuff tonight, but just the schedule didn't allow it. But we were watching the draws together here on the Monday morning, and when that came out, we were just like, oh, this is dream stuff for Shelburne. Either Linfield again or a team from the Faroes. So they're in a great position now. I think everyone expects them one way or another to go and get group stages.
yeah, like they're in a fantastic position. It has to be said, like, you're looking, you know, if they get through this, like, is a massive achievement in themselves, in itself. I know you mentioned John there, but you might know, like, how much would this help the coefficient? I'm asking.
Oh, I don't know. We'd have to ask him, but because we actually, I meant to ask him that when he was up here at the weekend, and we were too busy drinking pints, I forgot. But the fact that Rovers didn't beat St. Joseph's last week, I know it didn't matter. They'd won the first leg 4-0, but I think it would have given the coefficient a little boost if they'd won that game.
Oh,
and Pats obviously didn't win the away leg. Now they were probably lucky in the end to get through Pats. We were delighted they did, but. It felt like we left a couple of points behind maybe last week, so to get this is another great boost for the coefficient.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, like, it would be just fantastic to knock out a team like that. I know they'd have they will go in and get their Conference League playoff, but to have the, you know, for Shells to have that comfort of going in, like, playing a massive team like Pauk or Wolfsberger, which would probably be not as massive, but yeah, they're just class to have that opportunity to go, well, we can really go and go at this. Like, they don't have to worry about it as much. So that would be probably a very unusual position for an Irish team to be in. To go, actually, we're guaranteed group stages now, so we can actually go mad for this one. But yeah, look, great night, hopefully. First night of a lot of success in Europe.
Yeah, most definitely. Tomorrow we've got Balkany against Shamrock Rovers and Pats against Besiktas. Obviously, Balkany from Kosovo, who, you know, they're not a football and an independent football nation that long, so probably not as far along in their development maybe as some other teams that the Irish teams would face in Europe. So look, you'd be hopeful if Rovers can just be professional in the away leg, and I think they have got better at that in years gone by. We came on here and talked a lot about Rovers blowing the foot clean off themselves in Europe in years gone by, but I think with all the experience they've built up now, I think they are that bit more shrewd
Topped
in
on.
Europe. So hopefully they can show that tomorrow in what will be a hostile atmosphere, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, make no mistake, I know nothing about this team, so I'm hopeful that Rovers just do the job that they need to do as best they can and continue on their journey. I think just because I'd be not really expecting much tomorrow at Tala,
but they're away for the first leg.
No, I'm talking about Pats.
Oh, right, yeah,
like massive team in Besiktas. Ole Gunnar Solskjær, the manager, I've seen a lot of him in recent years. Do you have any what are you hoping for tomorrow out of Tala, do you think? Not a pasting.
Just keep it alive for the second leg, but I don't think anyone gives, like, that was a huge upset tonight, obviously, in Croatia. Shells, I think, were 14-1 ahead of kickoff, but like, I haven't checked what price Pats are, but they should be probably double that if they're playing Besiktas tomorrow, even at home. It's just on the, I think Ollie was doing his press conference tonight, and obviously there was Irish journals there, and he revealed that he was offered, well, I think he was spoken to about the Ireland job, wasn't he? So I think what we knew all along, that poor old Heimer wasn't the number one choice, as much as we were led down that old road by former FAI officials.
Yeah, fair play to you. Very diplomatic there. Yeah, no. I suppose, you know, we all knew it was bollocks of the highest degree. I suppose just getting that confirmation. And I suppose it was probably a bit more comfortable for Ollie to explain that now that it's been all said and done and we're talking about shite that went on a year ago. So yeah, it's look, it makes no matter of difference now at all, but at the same time kind of erodes a bit of the trust and that we thought we were trying to create in the FAI. But is anybody surprised, really? No.
No.
Which is probably a sadder indictment on the FAI. But yeah, look.
Interesting little subplot, I suppose, to tomorrow in some ways. I wrote a piece about this earlier in the week for another publication. But two managers facing off in Stephen Kenny and Ollie, that, you know, they both got to the top in terms of wanting the dream job. They got it. You know, Kenny, his dream was to manage Ireland, and for Solskjaer it was to manage Man United. They both had that, and they both got off the promising starts. Like, everyone was so enthused by what Kenny was trying to do, ripping up the blueprint and trying to put this different style, and we were all so excited early on, and then just the results didn't carry the vision. Whereas Ollie, you know, second in the Premier League, I think, and there was a feeling, oh, this man is bringing them back to where they were after the darkness of the Mourinho era, and then it fell to pieces for him as well. So two managers that have been to the top and now trying to rebuild the reputation a little bit.
Yeah, I suppose with Ollie, I think his reputation wasn't, we'll say, as damaged, maybe.
He was fairly ridiculed towards the end, I think.
Oh, no, there's no question that he was ridiculed towards the end. But, you know, he did get to a few finals. I don't think he won any of them. There was still lots of bullshit, like, you know.
History's probably kind on him now because it's been such a disaster after his tenure that they've got worse and worse and worse.
Yeah. Whereas Kenny, I suppose, you know, it being the national team, it obviously matters more.
I think
looking back on it now, I think it was bollocks. But it shouldn't have lasted. It went the distance that it did.
But he was ridiculed as well towards the end. So
he was ridiculed for a long time. To be fair,
they've had to have a shared kind of history there. So it's interesting. But just going back to Rovers very quickly, you were saying there you don't really have much of a clue about Balkany. As I said, Cosham Football's new enough on the scene, I suppose. Their first European game was only in 2022. They went out to Zalgiris from Lithuania. I'm just looking at it. So now they've actually been in a couple of group stages. They've been in the Conference League group stages twice. So that's impressive for a team that, you know, only came into the European picture a few years ago, as I said. But like some of the results in recent years, they were knocked out by Santa Coloma from Andorra last year in the first round of the Champions League qualifiers. And then they were knocked out in the third qualifying round of the Conference League on penalties by Larne, who they had beat 7-1 in aggregate only the season before that. So this season they beat Floriana from Malta 5-3 on aggregate. Okay. So to concede three goals against Maltese opposition, you know, that would be encouraging for Rovers. So, you'd like to hope they can avoid any feck-ups away from home and finish it off at home.
Didn't Rovers fill in Floriana recently? Am I thinking of someone else maybe? I might be getting confused there, but
I don't think they played Shamrock Rovers.
Oh, where? Not over Malta. Oh, I knew it. Look, my poor brain. I think Rovers.
They played the other Rovers back in 1994, Sligo Rovers, in the UEFA Cup Winners' Cup.
And how did that go?
They won 3-2 on aggregate.
Sligo?
No, Floriana.
Okay. She's had that one there quick. I think Rovers have nothing really to fear. They're in a good vein of form, putting teams to the side, not conceding goals. I know we'll come on to it, but they had a good win there against Derry.
Yeah.
Lots of positives. And also just, I know we'll come on to it, but Rory Gaffney scoring twice.
Mm.
Reeling in the ears a bit. For a lad that was going to be signed and then not signed, and then what are we going to do? And next thing he's putting Derry down like that.
I didn't get reading it, but I seen the headline. He did an interview with some of the tabloids earlier in the week, and he said he had to kind of early learn to walk before he could run again this season. So it's come from that to where he is now. Is it's testament to his professionalism, I suppose. Final word on European stuff before we move on to our usual domestic review, but Stephen Bradley's comments about the league the length of the league needing to be extended, and that part-time first division clubs shouldn't really have a voice or say in how the Premier Division is run. I know you've been on to me about this, so
the floor
is all yours.
No, you go first, because you don't share my view.
Yeah, I don't think you weren't happy. Let the cat out of the bag. You weren't too happy with his views. And in years gone by, I probably would have been very sensitive to this, obviously, as a first division man. But I don't see too much of an issue with it. I think they really are two different beasts now. I mean, there's clubs in the first division that still have amateurs on the books, part-timers that are getting their petrol money pretty much. And you've got clubs like Shamrock Rovers, Shelburne, trying to consistently now break into the group stages of European football. I think they're totally different beasts. So I can understand his argument about wanting to extend the length of the league. I think it is too condensed. I think we have too many midweek games. So if the Premier Division was to start a few weeks earlier and the First Division ends at the same time, so that, you know, there's still fairness on the pitch in terms of playoffs and that, I would have absolutely no issue with that. My one concern would be, I know we're trying to push the league on, and I think the signs are there that the league is going in the right direction. Attendances, TV and media coverage, the results we're getting in Europe. I get a bit of a, I said this to you the other day, a bit of a Celtic Tiger vibe to it all. Like, despite all the up and up and up that's going on and all the good vibes around the place and the bit more money that is splashing around, you look at the finances of clubs then, and they're still running huge losses. And I just feel, is this all built a little bit on sand? But we can come back to that point after. You can react to what I've had to say about Bradley's comments first.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, and I see where he's coming from. But like, I know we went to summer football, you know, for a lot of reasons. But like, and I'm not, like, I'd say I wasn't that much around in League of Ireland terms when we went to summer football the first time. But the general idea that I remember or would you know, put down to going to Europe or to a summer based league would be, was to like support clubs in going to, apart from having better pitches and stuff like that, but to support them at a European level. Is that a fair comment, would you say?
Yeah.
So with that in mind, right, so like it took a long time, and you know, I know there's a recession and COVID and other bullshit, but like it took a while. Let's say it took about what, 10 years when Rovers got into the Europa League that time.
Yeah.
And then for that to be repeated took until 2016.
Yeah, another 5 years or so, yeah.
Yeah. But then Dundalk did it again, and Rovers have done it a few times.
And now it's easier because of the Conference League as well.
Absolutely. I'm not disputing that at all. But also, we're still getting there, whatever competition it is. And then it's kind of like, I'm not saying that, like, you know, you have to be thanking or be grateful for it for the rest of your natural born life that this change was made across the League of Ireland to support that. But would he support going back to winter football? Like I would say, it's kind of like, what suits, you know, two or three clubs that can realistically get into European football at the moment? There's only two or three clubs in the country. So that's what he's asking for. He doesn't give a single shite about Sligo, Cork, Galway, any of the teams that aren't in around getting into Europe. He does not give a bollocks. Let's be clear about it. He's not doing it for their sake. He's only caring about what can Shamrock Rovers realistically achieve every year. And he's getting a pain in his bollocks over, you know, the wealthiest club in the country having to play an extra few games. That's what it is here. And framing it as if, like, rural clubs that don't have, you know, the best stadium in the league paid for by the taxpayer and all that other sort of bullshit, it doesn't really, you know, in my head, it doesn't really, you know, we're all in this. No, I don't, I'm, you know, it's not, we don't need to be all in this together or whatever, but like, we're already kind of seeing the gap widening between the Premier and the First Division. Like you said, I think, like, we're kind of in agreement that we'll say it'd be a miracle if Dundalk win one game with the squad they have in the Premier Division next year. And this idea that Bradley is putting out is going to widen that gap even further. So that's why I'm against it. And it's not even the fact that, like, Longford Town are in the first division, or I'm looking at a lot more first division than I did, you know, but it's not even that. It's just like what it's going to say for the league and what it's going to look like.
Well, personally, I think just from a let's say a neutral point of view, as someone who obviously I watch more first division as well, but I love going to Premier Division matches when I can in Drogheda or wherever's nearby, or even I go up to Dublin for a game or watching a game on the TV. I love it. I think it would improve the product if the season was extended. I think more time between games, less midweek games, bigger crowds. The concern, though, again, I never hear about, let's put some of this money that all these clubs are making in Europe now, let's put some of that aside to try and improve pitches across the league. Because if Stephen Bradley wants the league started earlier in the year, let's say, or yep, running into the winter that bit more, into late November, pitches are going to be in absolute tatters. And that's not going to help the product. That's not going to help anyone. So
that's my point.
That links into what I said earlier about the whole thing being built on sand a little bit. It's always like more money for the players. Let's get the more pro contracts. Even that minimum wage it's going up again. And now this type of talk extending the season, which is going to lead to, you know, having to pay players longer. It's more money being invested into players. And I don't see enough things being invested off the pitch. Even again, we spoke about it, like the likes of Derry dropping the ball, not getting a European license this season. Mm-hmm. Off the pitch, there's still not enough admin staff. There's so much volunteerism still.
Yeah.
Are we running a little bit before we can walk?
Well, I think if something like this does happen, or like does go on a bit further, all that's going to happen is like, well, Sir McRovers is like, well, you know, we pay feck all for that stadium a year, in comparison to the investment and the running cost of it. But I wouldn't expect Sir McRovers to start paying for the pitch in Longford or anything of the sort. I think, like, there has to be, as you said, this is going to be a bit of a slower burn to get to a point where the pitches are better. Like, you know, I don't know what you call that up in Oriel Park, for example, the other day. Like that's a complete and utter joke.
Yeah. They cut a few bushes, though.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ, lad. I nearly crashed the car. I was looking at the bushes so closely. I nearly couldn't believe it.
We now have a lovely entrance to the away end to prepare you to stand in your own filth for 90 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. But I just thought it's very short-sighted from Bradley, to be quite honest. And it's like,
well, look, I think you hit the nail on the head. He's there to do his best for Shamrock Rovers and for himself. So,
but also, like I'd say, we've often talked, like, a lot of Longford fans is not so good what Longford are doing at the minute, but they're enjoying, was it the bullshit that was going on with Athlone? Now, I know the new owner that was on the pod a couple of weeks ago, and that's great. But, like, Longford Town need Athlone. We want to have Athlone existing and doing okay so that we can have El Clasicos or whatever throughout the year. Like, it's no good if everybody else around you is doing shite. I've never understood, not even for a second, how people think like the Scottish League is worth a damn. Never got.
I was out in Carlingford on Sunday evening. Me and John went out there, and the Celtic
romantic game, getaway, was it?
Celtic game was on, and I was just watching some of the absolute dirt football, like boys screaming at the telly in Celtic jerseys. Anyway, doesn't matter. I'm sure plenty of our listeners are Celtic fans.
But what good is, like, we'll say Celtic being Celtic or Rangers being Rangers done for, like, most of the rest of the league? Not much.
Anyway, interesting debate, I think. And just a big thanks there to Shelburne. They've just sent me an email there. Cuiva Woods, who's the video and content executive at Shelburne, has just sent out audio of Joey O'Brien's press conference. So we are going to include that in the pod now. Thanks very much to Shells for that. So
the pod. Thank you, Shells.
Here is Joey O'Brien after a massive win in Croatia tonight.
Yeah, it's hard. Really tough on the card. We had a shape.
probably gave up a bit of possession. I didn't really like us in the first half in our own possession. I thought we turned over the ball a bit too much. So, yeah, that was a negative, but I think our shape out of possession was really good. In the second half, we spoke about that in the dressing room, that we wanted to try around the ball a little bit more and show air quality. And at times we've done that, but still feel that we didn't show how good a team we really are in possession.
I think that basically, listening to you yesterday, your game plan was executed to perfection. That is what you played.
Yeah, look, as I think I said yesterday, it's football's about that. It's a really difficult stadium here, really difficult coming over here to this level of opposition. It's not, we don't play this opposition in our league, a team like that, as good as that. So it was obviously going to be a really difficult game. But look, as I said to the boys down there, and I think I said to ourselves yesterday, European football for me, even a long time ago when I was playing, I obviously seen European football as four halves of football. And it's just two halves to go. We have a small advantage, but there's again, two halves done, two halves to go.
All right, everything is still open, but do you feel that you won away against the better team?
I suppose our record, but every team in our country's record away from home in European football over the years is not very good. So, it's obviously very difficult, and that's hence why it's really difficult coming away from home in Europe. But it was just something that, we thought, as I said, I think we have a good squad of players since I took the job. It was one of the reasons why I wanted to take the job was the quality that we have in the dressing room. And at times tonight, we showed.
Thank you. Congrats and safe trip home.
Thank you.
Next question?
Yeah.
Coach, congrats. Would you consider yourself now a favourite to go through? That's number one. And number two is, do you think that you played at your maximum today, or do you think that you can play even better?
Yeah, no, I still don't think we're favourites to go through. Obviously it's a big result for us, but as I said, it's only two halves done. We have a small advantage, but again, I still think they're the favourites. But again, as I said, it's a home leg for us. We have a good record at home, but it's still all to play for.
So do you consider this to be your biggest win in your coaching career?
Well, my coaching career,
yeah.
I think it's only my 8 games as a coach, so I haven't been doing it too long.
So also about Rijeka and their style of play, in first half they didn't really play as good as they can, and in second half you scored 2 goals. Do you think that you can perform like this in the second match as well, or do you think that maybe it's now a bit, I don't know how to say it correctly, but is this a problem for you because Rijeka now needs to go all in the second match?
Yeah, I obviously think, as I said before, in European football, is you see a lot of video. I'm sure they looked at video of air players and air patterns of play and stuff like this, you know. But I think whoever you play, it's that first half, players are feeling each other out, you know. It's like you see the speed, are you quick, how slow? There's certain things that you're not used to because you're not used to the players. So I think the first half sometimes in European football, sort of 15, 20, 25 minutes, is nearly, you know, boxing analogy, just jabbing away sort of thing, just seeing who you're up against. But then you start getting into the flow of it. So I think next week, obviously both players now have a feel of each other and what they're up against. As I said, I think they're a really, really good team and they're still the favourites.
Okay, you've been jabbing, and do you think that you're now prepared for a knockout punch?
Listen, again, as I said, I think it's we're going on the home patch. We have a good record at home. We always want to play in the front foot at home. We have our crowd at home, stuff like that. So it's going to be a really difficult game. As I said, it's two halves done. We have a small advantage, but it's still all to play for.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Yeah, well done to Joey O'Brien. Let's hope they can finish the job next week. And best of luck to all of the Irish teams once again this week. Right, Gary, we're going to start looking back at the domestic action from over the course of the weekend. We'll start with the Premier Division games from Friday night. Across the course of the weekend. This was the Sunday I didn't get seen a whole pile of this, but I got the prediction right in this one. Shamrock Rovers 2, Derry City 0. Derry City, we were never convinced they were title contenders, and I think this was more evidence of that.
Yeah, I think so. I already highlighted Gaffney there scoring the two goals. Not a big surprise in any way, shape, or form. As I said, and that's the reason I mentioned Gaffney. I was surprised he got the two of them. I think he's like 7 goals for the season. And as I said earlier, was he going to be signed? What was going to happen to him? Was he going to go to Galway? Or, you know, there was so much him and Han as to what was going to happen. But
8 goals in 19. That's a great return for a player that, as we said, was probably not going to be signed or didn't look like he was going to be signed at the start of the year.
Yeah, probably hasn't had a... I know he hasn't played. Didn't play a lot in the earlier part of the season, but like probably didn't have a great pre-season or anything like that. So, you know, even enough game for the first half, but as soon as the second half was... whistle was blown, I think, what, within 2 minutes, Gaffney was put Rovers 1-0 ahead. Nice little cross from Honan, I think it was, right across the box, and some more statuesque defending there. You know, Mark Connolly waving the hands around the place. How did this happen? So I'd never really had a fear. Remember, like in the last couple of years, like would say when I think Derry had a couple of good results up in Tala, yeah, like in the early part of the season.
Yeah. Or even when McGonagall got that goal up in Derry late on that time. Yeah.
Yeah, on telly, that was a great evening to watching. You know, would they do it? Would they be able to motor on or whatever? But no, never materialised.
They haven't really come on at all from last season, have they? I haven't looked at the table in terms of points from this stage to last season, but I couldn't imagine they're much further on, to be honest.
No, not really. And yeah, I just thought, like, I think looking at the goals, this could have been any Derry City team in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, they're as far away now as they have been.
100%. Like I'd say, you're looking at Gaffney there, chopping it in and smashing it in on his left foot. Like, it was like a AstroTurf goal. Do you know what I mean? You're 1-on-1 against a defender and you just hammer it by the keeper. And everybody effing and blinding and all, so, you know, blah, 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 and the arm's going in the air again. Like, the progression is just not there. And I know I've said it already. I think a big problem in the defence for Derry is Mark Connolly. Never rated him. Except maybe his first season with Derry. But after that, I don't know what he's doing there.
Now, I did get seeing a little bit of Waterford and Pats on the Sunday. We had this on in one of the beer gardens in Dundalk, so we got around, myself and John, at the weekend. It was actually a decent game, this. For large parts of it, I think Waterford, they played quite well and had lots of the ball and spent a lot of time in the Pats half, but it was that final ball that they couldn't just find, and Pats got a couple of goals and were comfortable enough in the end. But it was kind of one of them nearly nights for Waterford, where there was glimpses of what they might be able to do, but it was that final ball that let them down. I don't think they actually had a shot on target in the game. So Pats ran out deserving winners here. A disciplined enough display from Pats, and good to see Conor Carty getting a goal again.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I think the first goal from Amelia was there. Do you think that was offside, or did you see it?
I can't remember it. Foggy.
Yeah. I thought he was onside. He kind of checked back his run. I know there's a bit of jibber jabber around it, but a really classy finish near post. Sat the keeper on his arse. So good enough stuff. And needed for Belia, I think. Like, I know he's come on a good bit there, but there's always that like transfer fee hanging over him to a degree. But look, good performance enough by Pats. Like, it could have been a sticky one for them, without a doubt. So fair play to them for getting the 3 points.
I'm not sure if this is accurate or not. I asked ChatGPT how many points Derry had after 26 games in 2024, and it says that they had 41, which is what they have now. So either it's just got it wrong and it's just this season, or they're on the same points. I'm not sure. I'll have to do more research on that. But there you go. Right. Moving on with the results from the weekend. Sligo Rovers 0, Shelburne 2. Again, you'd have to credit Joey O'Brien Shells, despite the European distractions, to go to Sligo and inform Sligo and win 2-0. That's an impressive result. Sam Sargent sent off, of course, but that red card has been overturned.
Yeah, it was
a rarity, a miracle.
Well, and another one was overturned in the Bray game.
Yeah,
but yeah, this one, I think it was
the end is near.
I think it was just so bad. I think it was just a terrible decision from the ref. I don't think there was much of a need to send him off. Bad decision, really, but look, it was right in the end. I know that's no good to look, it didn't make a bag of difference on the night, but you know, if that was early on in the game, getting a red card rescinded after going down to 10 men is no addition to you. I think the Shells were definitely 1-0 up at the time. I can't rightly remember if they're 2-0 up, but yeah, it was a good performance from Shells. Really good opening goal. Great strike from Coote. Sligo had a really good chance. I think it was like a few minutes into the second half, cross in from the right. And I can't remember who headed it over, but I'm talking like it was easier to score. I don't know if you remember it. It was very tight, close to the goal, but geez, just to head it over from there would have really put the pressure on Shells. Really disappointing chance from there, because then it just went from bad to worse, and a good goal from Boyd, which I know there was another talk of offside there, but I think he just stayed in line with the defender, and that polished the game off, really.
On the Friday night on the TV, Bohemians 0, Drogheda 1. I did get watching quite a good bit of this in the studio on Friday night. A great late winner. And
Connor Keeley.
Connor Keeley, thank you. For me, he's been one of the best centre-backs in the division this season.
He certainly is, but he barely played for Pats.
Yeah.
And when he did play, he was garbage. I don't think anybody disagree with that. Like he never really was able, like, because he was very good for Drogheda the last time he was there.
Yeah.
And he deservedly got a move. And I think nobody disagreed with that decision to go after him and get him. But it just never worked out. Drogheda seems to be his place. He's been sensational all year. Like the amount of number of times he's chipped in with a heap of goals as well.
He has. And I used to be, I know Connor from his Cabin Teely days, and I know his dad as well, and love bumping into his dad at matches. And obviously Josh is over at Spurs at the moment as well. Yeah. So good footballing family. And I used to be always chipping away at Connor whenever I see him, that you don't score enough goals. And I know Kevin Doherty used to be on his case as well, but he's really brought that to his game in the last couple of seasons. Not only is he scoring goals, he scores some absolute bangers at times as well. And
he's got 5 goals this season, lad.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a few more he could have had. I've been at games where he's had a few cleared off the line and volleys that have been cleared off the line and stuff like that. So yeah, he's a real threat in both boxes. But that was an unbelievable. That was like Kevin De Bruyne, a bit of play from him the other night. To
sensational,
open up those.
Yeah.
And great for Josh Thomas to get it. Looked really promising in pre-season when I seen him a few times, and got an injury earlier in the year, but he's back now and scores a big, big goal. So was the big talking point out of this game was something that happened off the pitch. It happened in the Virgin Media studio. Vinnie Perth describing Drogheda's style of play has been puke football. What did you think of that?
I think that's I think it's particularly harsh considering the position that they're in. Like, they're fourth. They were, you know,
this comes from a man who I think once said that one of Drogheda's performances was an affront to the game. And I think he said to me after, no, I was wrong on that, actually.
Yeah, no. And
and Kevin Doherty let you know.
He followed up with me on that. Yeah,
pre-season
yeah. And he held on to that for about 3 months, to be fair.
Yeah,
But that was when they were like scrapping.
Mm.
They're a different animal this season.
I would have to totally disagree with the comments, to be honest, because
as you know,
I go to a good few Drogheda games, and whenever I go there, okay, it's not tick-attack of football, but I've seen quite a few people online saying this. I enjoy going and watching a team that are working their bollocks off,
yeah,
that have a system, have an understanding of what they're doing, and they work their socks off for 90 minutes. And
They're dying for the jersey, the manager, the fans.
And like, football can be exciting when teams play different ways. And like, they can play it. Like, they've got players like Dara Markey in the team. When they need to get their foot on the ball and pass it around and take a bit of pressure off, they can do that. When they sit deep, they're very good on the transition. They've got players like Thomas Alua that can break in behind. And then they had players like Douglas James Taylor, where, you know, you can play it up to him and be that bit more direct or play it in behind. They've got all different types of players. Even we spoke about Conor Keeley there, a player that can come up from the back and ship him with goals. I like that bit of variety about Drogheda. I wouldn't describe them as one-dimensional at all.
Like, if for example, right, if I could, every day of the week, I would rather watch a Drogheda game than a Rovers game. Shamrock Rovers. Like, because of exactly what you said.
That's going to be controversial.
No, I think you're right. I think they're far more enjoyable to watch. And I think for those reasons.
You sure you want that to go on air now?
I think you'd be the exact same, lad. Don't lie. I fully agree what you just said.
I find Tala one of the most boring places to go and watch football, as beautiful of a stadium as it is.
Yeah, no, it's terrible.
It's soulless.
Don't want to go there ever.
Well, you'll be going there in a couple of weeks.
Oh shit, yeah.
delighted
to go there. I think like what you said, like there's more enjoyment. As you said, there's a variety of players that play a different way.
If everyone played the same way, it would be very, very boring.
Yeah, and I think a lot of teams...
And there was a bit of that...
We've been blowing about this for years.
Yeah. There was a bit of that a few seasons ago. I'm not sure if it's been as bad this season, but...
I don't know, because like we were...
Too many mini Guardiolas out there.
Yeah, all bad ones. I don't want to get into that now, but like I fully agree. I would much rather watch... there seems to be a bit more fun in Drogheda games, more entertaining. But that's just the way, that's just me.
And finally, Cork City 1, Galway United 0, just Cork's third win of the season. Probably not going to do their survival chances much, in all truth. For Galway, though, a hugely damaging result for them. They were just lucky, I suppose, that Sligo didn't pick up any points to close that gap. But Galway are they're in big trouble, aren't they?
Yes. Was it the last time they won that was... That Pats game, which is a good while ago now. I know they won in the FAI Cup, but like, you're going on 6 weeks now in the league without a win. They had a bad loss at home to Waterford there previously. Yeah. We kind of all thought that they would go down and just go, right, boys, we just have to win this game. And I know they were knocking on the door a lot, but the early goal was the difference between the two of them. And I suppose it was always going to be a case that the Cork were always probably going to win another game or two, as unlikely as it is, but they were going to meet someone that they got the better of. I think I mentioned it to you the other day. It was like when Longford bet Dundalk that time with nine men for their second win of the season in that Premier Division season. You know, a game that couldn't believe we won, especially with nine men for most of the game. Obviously, it did nothing for us. And I think that's the similarity here. I don't see this making any difference to to their survival chances. I suppose Sligo looking at it like, oh, we have a huge opportunity here now.
And they're playing each other soon as well.
Cork
Sligo and Galway.
Yeah, it's in a month's time. It's in second week of September, that game, and it's in DC Park. So that game.
But the one thing I'm hearing everywhere is, oh, if Galway do end up in a playoff, they'll be absolutely fine. And me and you were in the camp, as we have been for the, we've been caught out the last number of years saying first division team will have no chance in the playoff. Galway are sinking like a stone. So I don't see how people can say, oh, they'll be absolutely fine. It's a one-off game. They're going to be going in against a team that's going to have momentum. I've been particularly impressed with Bray in recent weeks. Like, would you be absolutely certain that Galway would just brush aside a first division team in a one-off game if it came to it?
I'm starting to get a bit more iffy about it. Like I say, and I don't know.
Like, I'm not sure if it's like the I don't think it's similar to the Shelburne situation of 2020 when, as much as everyone tries to protest it, oh no, there was no issues in the dressing room. There clearly was.
Yeah, no.
I just don't know. When a team is sinking so rapidly, I don't see how you can just expect them just to turn it on for one game. Now, they might have enough, but this, like, Drogheda of the last season had great momentum going into the playoff final, even though that they finished ninth. You know, they had taken themselves off the bottom and comprehensively dispatched Dundalk by, what, 7 or 8 points. And
yeah.
And had won the FAI Cup. So,
yeah. I still think Galway would have enough myself. I suppose when you're, like, they've been without Patrick Hickey there for the last little while. They lost 4 or 3 out of 4 games that he was missing for. He came back there on Friday, which, you know, we were very impressed with him in the early part of the season. He was doing a lot of good work for Galway, but obviously that melted away too. So they're just in. I don't see them going down, to be quite honest. Like, it would be a monumental calamity for Galway if that ended up being the case. But
earlier in the season,
we were talking about them
as genuine European contenders. So the fact that we're talking about this now shows how rapid the decline has been. So I wouldn't be calling a, it's probably still a long shot, but like, it's not a 50-1 chance. You know what I mean? It's plausible. I think that Galway could be in the first division next season. Speaking of the first division, let's have a look at what happened in the first division. Of course, we had Friday and Monday games. We'll just spin you through the Friday results. Bray Wanderers 3, Treaty United 2. What a game that was. Treaty with a controversial red card. Cove Ramblers 3, Longford Town 1. A couple of absolute bangers in that goal from Waterford, Shane Griffin. Kerry 4, Athlone 0. UCD 0, Dundalk 1. And Wexford 2, Finn Harps 1. And then on the bank holiday Monday, Athlone 1, UCD 2. So Ian Ryan still without a win after, I think, 10 league games or so. Cove Ramblers 4, Wexford 0. It's not been a good season for Wexford. Dundalk 4, Longford Town 1, Finn Harps 2, Bray Wanderers 2, and Treaty United 1, Kerry 1. So a couple of good results for Kerry there over the course of the weekend. But I suppose Dundalk, the big winners out of the weekend, seeing Bray drop points on the Monday. They extend their gap over them. Cove are still within reach and distance, but they're playing each other this weekend. So if they were to do what Bowes and Derry did a couple of weeks ago and slice each other's throat and Dundalk win on Friday against Athlone, then they're nearly there in terms of the title, aren't they? Mm.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I suppose when you look at the games coming up, Bray, Cove, and then Dundalk at Lone, as you said, it's just going to be probably another procession. But at the same time, Cove had a really good weekend. 7 goals over the 2 days. Some just good results. Keeps them in touch, though. Like, 6 points in the difference. Like, it's not, even though I do think Dundalk will go the distance.
What's the goal difference like at the moment?
There's 2 between them.
So really they only need to keep it to within 3 because they play each other on the last day.
Yeah.
So that's the goal for Cove. Take it to the last day if at all possible.
Yeah, 100%.
Not sure that's going to happen, to be honest.
Neither do I, yeah. But I think that's their main hope. They just can't be affording to... They can't just afford to slip up at all now, really.
We were talking there about playoffs, and I said I could fancy Bray having another good run this season, but one who could be a dark horse are UCD. They're really picking up form, playing well.
Yeah, they're definitely connecting a few dots that they weren't able to connect in the early part of the season. Some good results. you know, and putting teams to the side. Do you think that they would go far?
I could see them having a good run.
I think they could. They'd be pushed to the side by Bray or Cove, really. I don't think they're there yet. I think very impressed with Bray even in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And Cove as well. Like
the Ferrazzi brothers linking up now. They didn't. I don't think it was by design they linked up for that winner against Treaty. One of them had a shot and the other lad stuck the toe out and went in. But two big statement signings in terms of Ferrazzi and Sean Brennan going there. So it seems like they're pushing the boat out to really go for this season.
Yeah, I think so, and it's good to see. I'd be far more interested in the Sean Brennan signing than the Ferrazzi signing.
Right, that we'll
keep that what you will.
we'll keep the first division review brief this weekend. There's just so many games there, so we'll go into the predictions league and we'll start with the first division games, Gary. And we've got
we're not talking about the town, no.
Can if you want, but I'd rather not, to be honest.
Yeah. I don't know. Go on.
A Friday that I actually thought they played quite well against Cove. Two wonder goals from Griffin.
Yeah.
Really undone them. So to see Danny Norris scoring in back-to-back games is massively encouraging. I'd rather not talk about Monday.
Yeah. At times I thought Longford played okay, but also blew their own leg off.
Blew a clean off.
Yeah. Like.
Yeah, every goal was avoidable, which is
every goal. Yeah, I suppose the really most frustrating one, like apart from the first one, bad pass out from the keeper, put the team under pressure. The worst one was though the one that Owen Kenny ran.
Ah, bet six men. Yeah.
Yeah, that was particularly.
And he did that a few times in the game as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good. But hopefully, as we move on to the predictions, we can rectify it on Saturday.
As I said, we are joined, or as I was about to say, we are joined this week by our sponsor, Anthony Quinn, quinnav.ie. He's going to be playing on behalf of the listeners this week. Let me just delve into my old WhatsApp here to get his predictions up. We'll start with Bray against Cove, Gary. As I said, they can't afford to slice each other's throat here, or they could hand the title to Dundalk. But how do you see this one going?
I would lean towards Bray. I think the signings like have given them a boost. Billy O'Neill playing well. On top of that, I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Bray.
You're going 2-1-2, Bray. I should just update the listeners on the league table, actually.
Oh, yes.
Went last week. So last week we were joined by Jason Lee, a Treaty United fan, and he did come out on top. He got two correct scores. That was Sligo Rovers Shelburne and Rovers Derry. He also got the correct result, Cove Longford, UCD Dundalk and Bray Treaty. So he picked up 9 points. I was next best with 6. The only correct only correct score I got was Rovers Derry, and you only got 3 points last week, Gary. No correct scores. You got correct result, Bray Treaty, Bose Drogheda, and Rovers Derry. So that leaves it like this. I'm still bottom on 129 points. You're second on 141, and the pressure you had put on the listeners, it's just weakened in the last few weeks with some poor performances from you. Listeners now on 158 points at the top of the table.
Right. Work to do.
So you're going 2-1 to Bray there. Yeah. Let me see. Anthony's going 3-2 to Bray. So that's okay. Two votes for Bray Wonders. I'm gonna side with you, Gary, and go 2-1 to Bray.
Very good.
Dundalk against Athlone. I've certainly fallen into this trap a few times of predicting a massacre, and I think they've only won by the odd goal, Dundalk, but all indications here surely have to be a bit of a cricket score.
Yeah, I'm going to go 3-0 to Dundalk. I think it's fairly simple. Like, I think part of the frustration, and I wasn't overly impressed with Dundalk the other day.
No.
Played okay. still give Longford some chances that Longford didn't put away. Longford hit the post.
Missed a chance, 1-0 down to make it 1-1, hit straight at Peter Cherry.
Yeah, desperate finishing.
Key moments.
Yeah, key moments of the game, absolutely. And I suppose that's...
And to be in fairness, to give credit to Dundalk, while we don't think that they're anywhere near Premier Division level yet, they've still got that class of when a team that's, you know, inferior to them makes a mistake, they do punish you.
They do punish, yeah, 100%.
So they are that cut above most teams in the division. And if Athlone make any of the sort of mistakes that Longford made the other night, then it should be another comfortable night at the office for Dundalk. Yeah. I'm going to follow your 3-0 there. Anthony going 2-1 to Dundalk. Kerry against Finn Harps.
What do you think here?
Could be a tight one, this. Probably going to go down the middle with a 1-1.
Because,
I haven't looked.
Harps.
I'd suspect if I was to look at the form table over the last while, I'd say Harps are doing okay in that respect.
Yeah, they've been sickening games. Like, they haven't got a pace, and really, I think the only time they lost by more than a goal recently was that game against UCD. But then they've turned them over in the cup. So,
over the last 10 games, Finn Harps have picked up 11 points, and so have Kerry. So, there you go. I think a draw.
I'm going to go 1-1 here.
You know what? I'm going 1-1, and there'll be at least one red card in this game.
Wouldn't stop at. Yeah, fair enough.
What's Anthony gone here? He is going 2-0 to Finn Harps.
Right. Jesus, okay.
Then we have UCD against Wexford.
Oh, this is a repeat of the first game of the season.
Do you know, I was looking at this game today for betting purposes, and I was thinking to myself, and we've said it on the pod, and probably a bit of a stereotype about UCD. Oh, they've got better since the pitch got better. Their home form is not good. Their away form is fantastic.
For UCD?
Yeah, their away form. Let me tell you now, only the Dundalk have picked up more points away from home this season than UCD.
Yeah, UCD's way. Yeah, they're second.
And they're second bottom on the home form table. I think they've won two games at home.
Shite.
So this stereotype, they've got better since the pitch got better, is bullshit. but I think the confidence that they've been picking up on the road, I think they'll carry it into this one. I think they'll beat Wexford.
Yeah, I'm going 2-0 to UCD.
I'm going to go 2-1 to UCD. And let's see what Anthony has gone for. He has gone for 2-1 to UCD.
Yeah.
That leaves us with the Saturday game, Longford against Treaty.
Big one for Longford, has to be said.
Is it fair to say that they've targeted this one in terms of, you look at the squad selection for the starting 11 selection Monday, there was a lot of players you would have expected to start that didn't. Were they been kept aside for this, perhaps?
Maybe. If you look, I'd say Longford haven't had a great week. You know,
no.
Bray, but they played the top three teams in the division, and two of them were away from home.
In the space of two or three days.
So I don't think it wasn't totally unreasonable starting 11. I think it is reasonably fair to imagine that a bit of targeting was done for this game. Longford had a good 2-0 win at home earlier on the season against Treaty.
But then lost 5-1 away to them.
Yeah. Well, Longford aren't an away team.
No, best performances and results have come at home.
Yeah, by far. Well, they're fifth in the table in the home form. So
yeah, there you go.
I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to the town.
Do you know, it's rare I get behind the town these days. I usually am a bit pessimistic, but I'm going to follow you on that one just because I think Longford nearly need to win this game after the way they approached the Dundalk game. I think they put a bit of pressure on themselves here that, right, we're making a bit of a statement here. We're going to target this one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they need the result.
Yeah.
Let's see what Anthony said. Oh, 2-1 as well. There you go.
Bye, Anthony.
Fair play to him. Derry City against Cork City as we move into the Premier Division.
I think there's only one way. I think it has to be a comfortable win for Derry City.
Bit of flat track bullying going on here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're saying that all the time.
Yeah. No, about Derry.
Oh. Yeah, but you're just saying that phrase all the time.
Yeah. Just about them. That's the impression I get. Think about the last couple of seasons. Twice last season, Hooban scored hat-tricks against Waterford. This season, they put 7 past Waterford. Just poor old Waterford. Mm. They put 5 past Treaty in the cup. And then the big game that they needed something out of against Rovers, nothing.
Nothing, yeah. I'm going to go 3-0 to Derry.
Right, I'm going to go one better just for trying to get the 3 points here. 4-0 Derry. Anthony is going 3-1 to Derry City. So everyone expecting comfortable Derry wins there. Drogheda United against Waterford. If Drogheda could pick up a win here, they'd be in some position.
They would. Big time. And I think they'll get it. You know, there was a lot of talk made about, like, we'll say, that how long, you know, it was nearly a month, apart from that crumbling game. You know, they were away and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they got a great 3 points the other night. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win. No. I'm going to go 2-1 to Drogheda.
2-1 to Drogheda. We highlighted Conor Keeley, and I think we have highlighted him, to be fair, but I think we should mention him again. I've put the argument out there, for me, Conor Keeley has been the best centre-back in the division this season. Mm-hmm. Has Luke Dennison been the best goalkeeper? He's far from perfect, but
yeah,
I think you like the fact that he makes big saves at big moments. He bails his team out a lot.
He does.
He's made all my amount of one-on-one saves this season.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He's having a great season. The Yank. Yeah, he is. Who would you put ahead of him? McGinty?
No. Tratska's had a good season. I think Dennison's been head and shoulders.
Yeah. I'd be inclined to agree. He's conceded the fewest amount of goals except for Bowes, but Talbot played a bit for them.
Mm.
Dennison has been number one all year long. He has been fantastic, and I suppose a good shout for the BTS team of the year.
The Golden Glove.
Yeah. I'd actually, when you say it out like that, yeah, I think you're right.
You're going 2-1 to Drogheda. Waterford usually score. I know they didn't on Sunday against Pats, but the final ball just wasn't there for them. I might just see what Anthony's gone for here. He's gone 2-0 to Drogheda. You're going 2-1, yeah?
Yeah, I was thinking of 1-0 though.
I'm going to go 2-1 as well.
Right, can I go to 1-0 to draw?
Okay. Very tactical.
Yeah.
Shells against Bowes.
Big old game.
Do Shells write this off?
The prize next week is too big, but if this was any other team, they could write it off. I don't think you can write this game off.
Plus, they need to try and think about getting back into Europe next season as well.
Yeah.
This is a direct European rival.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, though. What, listeners, Shells fans, if you're listening to this tonight or tomorrow morning, what do you think? Do you write this game off, or do you have to go for this because it's a derby, because of the 3 points on offer in terms of Europe? It's almost a 6-pointer. Or is just the prize next week too big? Do you write this one off? So let us know. Give us a tweet. Give us a message on the Spotify or something. What are you thinking score-wise, Gary?
Nil-nil.
That could be a good shout, you know. Bowes were a bit blunt the other night, weren't they?
Yeah.
Anthony is going 1-1 here.
I know it was a brilliant ball and Bowes were on the attack, and it was a very quick turnaround and all the rest of that. But it was one ball.
Yeah.
You know, a good finish and everything like that. I thought the keeper should have done a bit better.
Could Bowes get their old trick out here, 97th minute? Wonder could they sneak a late one.
I don't see that in Talca. in my mind's eye. Yeah, I could see that happening every day of the week in Tala, for example, but not Tolga.
I like your prediction, 0-0. Going to follow you on that one. But Shells fans, do get in touch. Should you write that game off or should you go for it? We'd love to know that. Galway United against Shamrock Rovers. Often been such a difficult place to go, DC Park, but not at the moment. You'd have to fancy Shamrock Rovers here. Even after a trip to Kosovo.
Yeah. When that game is on the Sunday. What time is that?
I will tell
you. 5 o'clock. I was thinking about, we'll say, the Longford Town Cup game.
Oh, they're going to rest their team for that one.
Yeah, like, I know they could definitely do a lot of rotation. Like, you know, they've, you know, probably two squads of players.
Yeah.
In truth. I don't know. Like, I'm just, like, wondering what about the rotation opportunities that they have. Let's say, will they put Mally in? I know he played on Sunday and cracked one off the crossbar as well.
This sounds arrogant, but I think they can do what they want, to be honest, and still win this game. 2-0 Rovers.
I'm going to go for 1-0 to Rovers. Just on that Conor Malley move, what do you think about that?
Strange one. Sort of player that will probably, when he plays, he's got really good players around him, he'll probably stand out, I think. So I can kind of see why it's just to kind of beef up the squad option, isn't it? I don't see him breaking into the starting 11 on a regular basis just yet, but probably a good option to have.
Yeah, it's a strange one though. You know, like
I said at the time, he went to Sligo, and now I was he was probably their best player last season. That's why I was surprised. But I said it when he left Dundalk. This lad is not built for a relegation battle. He's lazy. He's a lazy, lazy player.
Right. Okay. Straight out.
But he's got a bit of.
He does have talent, yeah. I think it's a mad one though. Like, obviously, Sligo wanted him out, and they found a place for him for at least the rest of the season. But, like, you know, if it doesn't work out for Rovers, you know, it's a real free open goal.
It's a free shot for them. I don't know, is there any maybe a small loan fee, or they must be paying all of his wages, because why would Sligo do it otherwise? I'm sure if they've got him off the books, they have brought quite a few players in the window, Sligo, so probably helped them in that regard. But otherwise, if you didn't need it financially, I think out of spite, you would already let him rot in the reserves, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would. 100%.
Just to recap there, I'm going 2-0 Shamrock Rovers. Gary's going 1-0 Shamrock Rovers, and Anthony's going 2-0 Shamrock Rovers. That brings us to Pats against Sligo. Sligo Rovers.
Ooh. It's also on Sunday at 6 o'clock. I might see if I can go to that.
Give me a prediction for the scoreline tomorrow night against Besiktas, first of all. Not for the predictions, but just what you think.
3-0 Besiktas.
So they're going to get hammered on Thursday.
Yeah, I think so.
What way is that going to affect the mood here? Again, they need to get back into Europe themselves for next season.
Yeah, they need to just win games, period. Like, forget about Europe. Like, they just need to not be shit.
Six points outside the top three now as it is.
Yeah.
If you go 9 points behind with 10 games to go, you're in big trouble.
Oh, you're in huge trouble, yeah. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to... I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to Sligo.
Oh, like a Sligo as well. They'll know what Galway have done. Oh no, they won't. They're both Sunday, but they'll be hearing, I'm sure, what's happening over in Naming DC. This could be a chance for them to go level on points with Galway potentially. I know Ryan O'Kay missed the game against Shells because of the loan agreement. He'll be back in. A shame to see them lose a couple of players. Sligo Lombotto, I know he was only an impact sub really, but nice to have that option off the bench. He's gone up north, and
was it Lintorn he went to?
Can't remember rightly now, but the midfielder as well, Doyle Hayes, gone to England as well. He was a decent little player, so a couple of players lost there, but they've had a good window otherwise. I'm going to go 2-1 Sligo.
2-1, really?
Yeah, Owen Elding to score.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. What about Anthony?
Anthony Elding or Anthony Quinn?
Quinn, obviously, come on.
He is going 2-0 Pats, so we do have a difference of opinion there.
I don't know about, like, yeah, we're just interested to see what team they put out tomorrow.
Oh, well, tomorrow they have to go all guns blazing. They have to dream.
I don't know about that.
That's the bigger game, come on.
Yeah, it's a bigger game, but and that'd be grand if they weren't so shite in the league all year. Like, they really have to operate on two fronts here.
I suppose they're still in the cup, aren't they? So,
oh yeah, but that's not this weekend.
No, but they could win the cup still. There's still a path to Europe for them. So while they're still in Europe, they have to go all guns blazing.
Well, fair enough.
Right, so we've got nearly two hotlines here because I put out a tweet as soon as the Shells game was over saying we were about to record the podcast, and I wish Elon would get rid of these little pop-ups here. I can't read my own tweet because of them. Sorry, everybody. One second here. Anyway, I said we're about to record the podcast. Get your reaction into what we've just witnessed in Croatia. Where does this Shelburne win rank among the great League of Ireland performances in Europe? Neil says great win, but only halfway there. Cornell, fantastic performance from Shelburne tonight. John Martin was the game changer tonight. Declan, it's a brilliant result away from home, but there's plenty of results for League of Ireland teams that spring to mind more recently. Ones against Istanbul, Pauk, AZ Alkmaar, Partizan Belgrade, and if you go back further, Celtic, Elsberg, and Hertha Berlin. Thomas Tormey, very highly, but before we get carried away, don't forget that the Croatian League isn't as strong as their national team or player production line, and Rijeka are a relatively small club. So behind Rovers in Molde, for starters, not that Molde are massive either. Al buzzing after that. Rage and I couldn't make the trip. We seem to have a thing of creating history against Croatian clubs. Yeah, of course, that Hajic split game and Dave Rogers all those years ago. What did you make of the away end? Did you see the cage?
Oh, I did, of course, yeah. I think that's fairly common in that part of the world. But yeah, still mad to see all the same.
Evan, sure, Shell drew 0-0 with a Deportivo side who were Champions League semi-finalists 3 months prior and finished above Real Madrid.
Yeah,
this is a big result for sure, but got to finish the job. That's a great tweet, I think.
That whole time is a massive asterisk on it for me, so I don't really care about Deportivo La Coruña.
Gav, to turn it around away from home to the Croatian champions after conceding that penalty early in the second half was fantastic. As a standalone result, it's certainly up there in my very biased opinion. Daniel Shields, massive win, but Rijeka are poor. Croatian football, not what it once was. Tough ass, but I hope they finish the job. Alessander, can't get too far ahead of ourselves, but a proper effing win, that.
But just on the last one there, like, Croatian football, not what it was, but, like, Irish teams, obviously, we've never been anything in a European context.
Yeah.
And also, League of Ireland teams have absolutely filled the togs against teams that you should have never even had to think about beating, never mind losing against.
Bruno's Magpies.
For example. Yeah. So, like, you know, I don't want to say we have to be grateful and falling across ourselves and on our hands and knees thanking God that we bet a team like that, but also
we should celebrate.
We should still celebrate.
Yeah. Fair, but that's a great point. Bill Dorney, it's up there, and Jer, they need to finish the job first. So yeah, let's hope they do. As for the more traditional BTS hotline, let's see what we've got there. Declan Crosby was behind the draw at a bench the other night, and Kevin Doherty was in great form. He has shown such resilience in difficult times and picked the players up when they all must have been really hurting. We're very lucky to have him manager of the year if we get Europe. Would you agree with that, Gary? If Rovers win the league by the margin that they're clear now, very hard to look past Bradley, despite the fact people say he's got the tools, he's got this, he's got that. But they have been a cut above everyone this season, Shamrock Rovers.
I think if Drogheda qualify for Europe, then it has to be Doherty.
If Rovers do the double, though,
then it has to be Bradley.
And get into Europe.
what do you want from me?
Kieran Carrick, how can Crystal Palace have a higher coefficient than Shells when they've never played in Europe? So I had to text John Breyer and ask this, and John Breyer gave me the answer on this, our coefficient expert. He said, very complex, but in easy terms, clubs get a base coefficient of a percentage of their total Football Association's percentage points. Don't ask me what it is, but that's why Palace have a decent coefficient despite never playing in Europe. They essentially benefit from other clubs in England and how they've done. So there you go. Peeps Nation, Rovers have the league wrapped up after an off year. Who do you see as the closest to actually winning the league maybe next year? And do you think anyone can actually win? I can't think that far ahead, to be honest.
Based on what I know now, Shamrock Rovers.
Nobody.
Correct. Yeah, no one else, no.
Daniel Forn, how would you rate Rovers' chances against Santa Clara, assuming Rovers beat Balcani and Santa Clara avoid a rounding error against Larne? Also, Shells against Linfield again is a possibility with a group stage spot on the line. Would a fitter Linfield team be favourites, or should Shells win? Look, well, let's hope they're not playing Linfield. Let's hope it's Pauk or the other team that they can play in the Europa League playoff round. Yeah, Wolfsburg. Let's hope they can get through to that. But if they do drop into the conference and it is Linfield, I do think Linfield will have come on a lot for the couple of games they've played. I don't think it would be a gimme the way people think. That game in Windsor could have gone very badly for Shells. They almost gifted Linfield two open goals and they couldn't capitalize on them. So Shelburne were clearly the better footballing team across two legs. I'd hope they'd be able to knock out Linfield again, but I do think it would be a proper contest. As for the Balcani tie, as I said earlier, I hope Rovers can keep it tidy away from home tomorrow night, finish it in Tala. Santa Clara, did they win the Portuguese Cup or how did they get in? Does anyone?
Not a clue.
Because obviously I've commentated on a bit of Portuguese league over the last while, and I wouldn't be massively impressed with the standard.
Okay, fair enough.
Huge gulf between the top three clubs and the rest. Top four clubs.
I saw a few games there myself in March.
Santa Clara were fifth last season.
Yeah. It is a massive drop off. It's like the Scottish League. I saw that team that you commented on that time when they played. Was it Benfica they played?
Was it Estoril?
A team worse than that I haven't heard of. Hadn't really heard of before. Literally, stadium has no roof. Like, it was raining the day we went in, and they're handing out ponchos like mad. But they were down towards the bottom. But it is a massive drop-off, you're right. And to be honest, but I'd say like playing those big teams all the time certainly helps you. So
yeah, I'd imagine they're probably decent enough. Fairly big as well, so.
Yeah.
Let me see, is that it or have we got a couple more? One more, Patrick Galvin. Will Bray beat Galway in a playoff? We've kind of already touched on that. I think they would have a chance, definitely.
I'd say they'd have a very good chance, yeah.
Yeah. So that is the BTS hotline. That's been a really enjoyable show. Lots of different topics of discussion there. Thanks to Gary, as ever, for his insight and never been shy of opinion. Thanks to our sponsor, Anthony Quinn and Quinn AV, not only for a sponsorship of the show this season, but for playing in the Predictions League tonight. Thanks for Shells for sending over that Joey O'Brien audio as well. A great night for the League of Ireland. Let's hope it continues over the next few nights in Kosovo and indeed in Tala tomorrow, where Pats take on Besiktas. We'll be back again next week to react to those European games and, of course, all the domestic action coming up this weekend. But for this week, from Kieran Burke, from Gary Riley, from John Breyer, who was here in spirit, and to Anthony Quinn, our sponsor, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.